Happy Ben's birthday, everyone. It's good to see you. I have a question for you this morning. My question for you is, how comfortable of an asker are you? Are you a comfortable asker? When you need help with something, when you need something, are you someone who's comfortable with asking? If you are not sure whether you're a comfortable asker, I'm going to have some prompts on the screen in a second. And I just want to take this time so that we can kind of get a grid of where we're at as people who ask. For some of you, you'll see these and you'll be like, well, that depends totally on the person or my needs or whatever. But I just invite you to take a second, and you won't share this with a neighbor. This is just for you to become just a little bit more aware of where you land on this. So Connor, can you go ahead and put those prompts up? Thank you. So our first one is, how close do you have to be to someone in order to ask them for a piece of gum? Maybe you just had a tuna sandwich. That might change your answer. Now I want you to think about how close you would have to be with someone in order to ask them for a ride home. How close would you have to be with someone to ask for advice or input? Now this is where you might start to feel some resistance. How close would you have to be with someone in order to ask them for a ride to the airport? Maybe it depends on if it's Midway or O'Hare. How close would you have to be to someone to ask them to buy you something? Something small, like a soda. And then finally, how close would you have to be with someone in order to ask them to help you move? We're gonna hold this data in mind. I hope that you became a little bit more like, oh, okay, that's where my line is. But hold that in mind as we continue this morning. We'll come back to that. But today we are going to continue our discussion on why we do what we do here at church. We've looked at why we gather in the first place, why we preach, why we sing and worship. And today we're gonna be looking at why we do ministry time. Ministry time. This is the time at the end of our gathering when we both pray all together, but also when we highlight every week the team of people who often stand in this corner who want to pray more specifically for any needs that arise. Why do we do that? We believe that ministry time, the space we make to pray together, is vital. It's actually part of our DNA. While the First Vineyard Church had been around before 1980, many would say that one of the Vineyard's first defining moments comes back to a ministry time on Mother's Day in 1980. This space of prayer is a key part of who we are, how we relate to God, and how we relate to others. You may have come and wondered why it is that whether it's in this room on a Sunday or at the coffee bar after service or in a small group, why there always seems to be this space where we pray together. Why we don't just read off a list of names and needs during our service, or why we don't just offer to pray as the week goes on, but why we pause to see, can I pray for you right now? Why we start our prayers with, come Holy Spirit. You may have had some questions about why it is that we do things in this way. Because as we know, there's not one right way to pray. And yet it seems that there's been something about making space and praying this in this specific way that is so central to our community. Our hope is that you would have experienced in this church at the Evanston Vineyard that we are a praying community, that we care about praying for you right here and now, that we would be a people who are regularly making space for ministry time. And today we're going to talk about why it is that we do that. And we could talk about how we have been given power and authority to pray. We could talk about how the church has been praying, healing, and delivering people as we proclaim the gospel since the beginning. Because all of that is true. This is all part of why we do ministry time. But we also do ministry time because of who we know God to be. We make space for praying for one another in response to the very heart of God. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Would you join me in turning to Luke 11? We'll start at verse 9 this morning. And as you find your way there, we are going to hear the words of Jesus as he instructs us in prayer and as he describes the very heart of the Father in regards to our prayer. Luke 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You have a generous father. Luke writes, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Look, I know and you know that relationships with fathers can be complicated. Jesus tells us that whether you had the best dad or a complicated dad, that they are evil. Jesus' point is that we have evil inside of us. We have a sin nature and we are touched by the dominion of darkness. And yet even we have the capacity to give gifts. Some of us have been given fish, we've been given a gift, perhaps small and basic, from a biological dad. Others of us have received a gift from fictive kin or teachers or mentors. But Luke's point is that even they, in their imperfect and limited nature, gave you something, and their heart for you is finite. These people, they are subject to the pulls of selfishness, greed. They may give with an assumption or expectation that you will give something in return, but even yet, they gave you something that you needed. Can you think of a time when either a father or someone else who played a role in nurturing gave you a good gift? Can we take a moment to recall a time that someone gave us a good gift? For me, I think of a mentor in college who was constantly looking out for me. They had their own family to take care of, they had young kids, and yet they were paying for my meals, and they would grab me coffee, and they even went to the store and had me pick out a planner when they saw that I was struggling to keep up with my responsibilities and assignments at school. This mentor was giving things freely and generously to me because of their care. They gave me good gifts. Whoever came to mind for you gave you a good gift. And yet even they were limited. They were confined in their generosity and desire to care. They had limited resources like money or time. They had other things that they also needed to care for. They were limited in their generosity. And Jesus draws our attention to this to contrast earthly fathers with our heavenly Father. Where we have been cared for by people limited in goodness, conflicted in their kindness, inconsistent in their generosity, it begs the question of how much more would a Father who is unlimited in goodness, steadfast in kindness, and faithful in generosity give? How much more does a good Father desire to give generously his Spirit? And this how much more in this passage is not in reference to the gifts, although we know that the gifts from the Father are so much better. But what we see in this text is that the how much more is actually about God's heart. How much more is the good Father's heart for you? If a human heart, if an evil heart can give a gift to someone they love, how much more will the good Father, the perfect Father, the infinite Father, whose love cannot be contained by height, depth, or width, give to his children? How much more is the Father's heart for you? How much more does this Father desire to give? Whether it's our own dad or someone else's dad, we can probably think of a good father. We know good fathers. Whether there's someone that comes to mind, like an uncle or someone on social media, we can think of people like this. A dad whose heart is so for the child. I know that there are incredible good fathers in this room that are so moved by their love, that they would do anything and give everything of themselves day after day. These are good fathers. But what we see in this passage in Luke is that our Father desires to give even more. We have a better dad. We pray, we do ministry time because we know that the person we pray to is generous and good, and that the heart of the Father is to give good gifts. When we make space at the end of our service, we do it both out of need, knowing that we come with the things that we need, like fish and eggs. And sometimes there is sustenance that we seek in ministry time because we need to be sustained. But first and foremost, we make space at the end of our service to pray because we believe that this is the Father's heart. We pray in response to his desire, his longing to give gifts and to provide. But this better dad is not just a good father who wants to give you good gifts. He's a good father who wants to give you the most incredible gift of all, his Spirit. How much more will your Father in heaven give his Spirit to those who ask him? Our generous dad gives his Spirit to us. In Ephesians and Corinthians, we see that the Spirit is a down payment or a seal of our inheritance, a sign of our salvation, and a seal for the greater glory and intimacy that will come when we see the full coming of the kingdom of God. The Father gives his Spirit generously as access to the kingdom. But Luke also wrote Acts, and I believe that Luke is also referring to the beautiful, miraculous gifts and work of the Spirit that we see all throughout the book of Acts. In Acts 2, we see that the Spirit was poured out on people of many ethnic backgrounds as they spoke in tongues. In Acts 3, a man who could not walk or jump is healed and then does just that. And the community is amazed that the Spirit would touch someone older than 40. And we can laugh at the idea of anyone in this room over 40 being considered old by first century standards, that Ben, as he celebrates his birthday, is approaching old age. But there was a communal thought that's actually really important there. There was a thought that there could be people who did not deserve the healing, that they were not worth the miracle. But the Father, the generous Father, gave generously his Spirit. In Acts 4, the Spirit empowers Peter to testify even while in jail. Acts 5 talks about the many signs and wonders done and the new believers that came as a result of these miracles. In Acts 7, Stephen the martyr is filled with the Spirit as he acts as a witness in the face of persecution. In Acts, the Apostle Paul was called to ministry by the Spirit and was healed of his blindness by the Spirit as a sign that he was to go to the Gentiles. All across the book of Acts, we see healings, people empowered for mission, empowered in preaching, and people being filled. And this filling of the Spirit didn't just happen one time, and then it was done. Even after the disciples' initial filling in Acts 2, we read that they were filled again with joy and the Holy Spirit in Acts 13. We can receive the Spirit. We can receive empowerment and joy and fresh filling of the Spirit more than once because we have a generous Father who desires to give. When we go to a conference and the room feels electric, you know what I mean? When you walk into a room and you sense the Spirit, the room feels electric and you see people all over being touched by the Spirit of God. What we're seeing is not just the power of God. What we are also seeing is the heart of God on display. We see the heart of God on display every time he gives to us. This is who our Father is. We see in the text that the gifts that the Son asks the Father for are fish and eggs. There's a nourishment that the Father is able to provide through these gifts. In the same way, the Spirit nourishes us. Whether that's through empowerment, whether that's through healing or deliverance or the gift of intercession, there is an even greater holistic nourishing that the Spirit gives. Where earthly fathers can give food to eat, the good Father can nourish the soul, nourish the heart, nourish the mind in a deeper way through his Spirit. We make space in our service for healings. We make space to pray for deliverance and empowerment because we know that the Father desires to nourish us through his Spirit. Ministry times have been a place where I could begin to know the heart of the Father. There were stretches of time where I was going up almost every Sunday, desperate for the work of the Spirit. In those times, I encountered profound love and transformation, but I also experienced something else. I had people praying for my healing, people helping me get free through deliverance, people coming alongside to bless the empowerment of the Spirit, but something more was happening. These encounters went above and beyond what I could ask for, but there was a time where I was receiving prayer. And as I was receiving, I felt like I heard the Lord encourage me by saying, "Your mothers and fathers are in the vineyard." I needed mothers and fathers in addition to all of the other things that the Spirit was doing. And I noticed something after that every other time that I would go up for prayer, that the person who would pray for me was praying for what I needed, but there was more. They were spiritually mothering and fathering me. They were nurturing me. And some of those people I would go on to have longer relationships with, where they would continue to step into that role. The Lord didn't just provide me one person to nurture and care. He didn't just answer the things that I was asking for when I would go up for ministry. He was doing so much more. He was nourishing deeper than I even had language to ask for. The Father gives freely his Spirit. But we also know that the generous Father gives his Spirit freely, but we know that something is required of you and me. The generous and good Father gives his Spirit to those who ask. All right. Who does the Father give his Spirit to? To those who ask. We are to ask. According to this passage, good things come to those who ask. This is why we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." We are practicing asking. You may notice that sometimes we even stand or we open our hands when we go to pray. We do this to position our bodies in a way to ask, to say, "Lord, we're ready. We're welcoming what you have for us. We know that you desire to give," and we say yes. We ask for that. We can use our bodies as a way to ask. And we don't ask a God who we are unsure of whether or not they want to give us this thing. We don't ask a cheap dad for something expensive or a dad that we have to convince. Our prayers, our invitation for the Spirit are bold because we understand that the Father's heart, his good heart, is to give his Spirit. We say, "Come, Holy Spirit," with expectancy because of the Father's good heart. I believe that every time we ask the Lord for something, that it is an act of faith. It's saying, "Lord, I believe that you are good and that you want to give me this thing, and so I'm going to ask. I believe that this is who you are, and so I will ask." It is an act of faith when we come to the Father. And so when I have experienced roadblocks in my faith, I ask God to help me. When I didn't trust God as Father, I asked God to help me. If you're hearing this and unsure of whether you believe our Father is actually good, you can ask him to help you know him. We don't do a bunch of things so that eventually we can ask, because that's striving. We don't stop sinning and then ask the Father to help us. We ask a good and generous God for the things that he already desires to give us. This is grace. And so if the Spirit gives freely, we can ask freely. We don't just ask often, but we ask freely, without shame, without pride, without fear of a stern talking to, without fear of rejection. We can be free as we ask the Father. Because we have to remember that we are asking a Father who in his kingdom, there is no lack. Jesus says, "How much more is the desire of the Father? How much more is this Father's heart? How much more is his provision and care?" We live in a world where resources are limited. Whether it's monetary resources, physical resources, or emotional, relational resources, we live in a world with limited supply. We know that lack is the injustice and the result of people who have withheld. Our invitation is to take on a kingdom mindset, one where we have a Father who does not withhold from us and provides for us now in our world of lack. A few years ago, I had faced disappointment after disappointment looking for a mentor. I was a fresh youth pastor walking through some incredibly difficult circumstances with students. I had no idea what I was doing or what I should be doing, and so I began to pray for a mentor. I reached out to people that I admired who I thought would be able to help me navigate this hard terrain. We would meet once, and then in the busyness of their life, I wouldn't hear from them again. And I understood they had good reasons for not being able to meet. But I also knew that I needed a mentor, so I just kept praying, "God, would you give me a mentor?" But as time went on, if I'm honest, that prayer got a little less pretty. It got a little more desperate, a little more, "Lord, I need a mentor." I'd leave youth group and I'd say, "Lord, I need a mentor." I just kept asking and I was getting bolder and more desperate until I found myself at a regional vineyard retreat where staffs of vineyards all over our region came together. And at the end of one of the sessions, we did what we often do here in this room. We waited and invited the Holy Spirit. We asked for things for the room, but we also just asked for the Spirit. And I began to shake under the presence of God, and people came by to lay hands and bless what was happening, and people came and went, but there was one woman who stayed. And she prayed and she spoke things that I needed to remember were true, and she prayed for me and she was there for me. And finally, when the prayer finished, I wiped my tears and she said, "Hi, do you need a mentor?" And that is how I met our Jess Sales. Because that mentorship would go on to open up so many other doors. I'm so grateful for the nurturing and care that I received through Jess. I was asking, oftentimes desperate, oftentimes with little faith, and I was met powerfully. In that moment, I felt aware of the generosity of God in a new way. And aware that God really means that we can ask. And so my question to you this morning is, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? Are you asking God for anything like I was with the mentor? What are you asking for? Were there things when we talked about how comfortable we have to be with someone that helped you identify places you get stuck in asking? Ministry time is a place where we can practice asking together. You don't have to ask alone. We make space at the end of our service to wait on the Spirit because we believe that the Father's heart is to give His Spirit to those who ask. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to wait and we're going to ask. I'm going to have some people come up. I think Steve is coming up maybe. But I want to invite us all to stand if we're able. We're going to practice asking with our bodies. And if you're comfortable, I invite you to put your hands out in front of you, like you're going to receive a gift. Come, Holy Spirit.